Today's world is difficult to recognize. Our experience and advanced analytics help you find the value amidst the volatility. Aon is in the business of better decisions.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, August 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. There are plenty of reasons not to want your personal information available online. Email addresses, phone numbers, and home addresses aren't necessarily things you want to be easily accessible to anyone in the world. But finding someone's personal details on the internet has become simpler than even just flipping through the white pages. And taking that information down isn't nearly as simple. On today's show, our reporter Maddie Ellis joins us to discuss how personal information has become so readily available online and what to do if you want yours taken down. That's after these headlines. A review of U.S. trade data shows the Commerce Department approves almost all U.S. tech exports to China, despite concerns over competition and national security. In 2020, officials required a license for less than 0.5% of the $125 billion in exports to China. And of those, the agency greenlit 94% of export applications. Our reporter Kate O'Keefe says the U.S. has for years been sending China an array of important technologies, from semiconductors and aerospace components to AI.
Some people are worried that China could end up using the same technology against the U.S. in the event of a military conflict. As a result, some are calling for an overhaul of the whole export control system, but others are warning that if the U.S. does that without getting allies on board first, it won't be effective because other countries will just pick up selling to China where the U.S. left off.
Amazon is accusing the Federal Trade Commission of harassing its founder Jeff Bezos and company executives as it investigates Amazon's Prime membership program. In a petition to the regulator filed earlier this month and recently made public, the e-commerce giant called the FTC's demands overly broad and burdensome and said its legal tactics were unfair. The agency has been investigating the marketing and cancellation practices for Prime since March 2021, according to Amazon. That probe has since expanded into other subscription programs. An FTC spokeswoman declined to comment. Staying with Amazon, when the company's Thursday night football kicks off in September, the game's coverage will be tracked by ratings firm Nielsen. The three-year deal is the first time Nielsen will include viewership of a streaming service in its weekly TV viewing report, a crucial piece of information used for determining the value of commercial time. Our media and entertainment reporter Joe Flynn says the partnership is significant for Amazon's ability to sell ads and Nielsen's efforts to stay relevant.
Unlike most of Amazon Prime content, this is a live event with advertising. And so for that, Amazon needs third-party data in order to sell commercials to advertisers. Well, Amazon will also be providing information from its own platform and viewership data that it assembles. Advertisers are really insistent on having a third party, such as Nielsen, provide ratings information. It's important for Nielsen as well. They've been accused of moving too slowly to embrace covering streaming and tracking streaming programming, which is difficult to do in fairness. So that Amazon has signed up with Nielsen is something of a vote of confidence for the company that's really needed.
And the encrypted messaging service Signal says a phishing attack compromised the accounts of 1,900 users and potentially revealed their phone numbers. The company says the attacker had accessed the information through Twilio, a company that provides Signal with phone number verification services. Signal says the attacker did not access user messages, contact lists, or profile information, but that the attacker searched for phone numbers and re-registered at least one account. A spokesman for Signal said the company has contacted all the affected users about registering their accounts again. All right, coming up, your personal contact information may be floating around online without your permission. How do you take it down and keep it private? We'll discuss after the break.
The energy landscape is changing before our eyes. With rising oil and gas prices, alternative fuel options are looking more attractive. But is your portfolio keeping up? At Global X ETFs, our approach to investing in renewables looks beyond what you might have considered. Visit globalxetfs.com to learn how you can invest in the rise of clean energy.
Have you ever typed your name into a search engine? If so, you might have come up with your social media profiles or personal websites. Or maybe you saw something a bit more unnerving: your email, phone number, or even your home address. This can be upsetting. It can feel like a violation of privacy. But it can also be harmful, depending on who finds that information and how they use it. So what are the possible ramifications of having your personal data be public? And how can you get that information taken down? Joining us to discuss this is our reporter, Maddie Ellis. Thanks for joining us, Maddie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's start with some basics. Where is this information, like your home address and phone, being listed in the first place? Why would anybody want to put it up?
So the best way to think about this is think of a phone book, or think of these public records that before you could access, anyone could access. People actually wanted to be in the phone book. It was a way to connect with friends, find old friends, give them a call. But because it wasn't digitized, you had to be really intentional about actively using those sources. Other examples are going to county offices and requesting public records. So there is all this public information that is relatively personal, such as your home address, your phone number. All of these are recorded on utility bills, property taxes. This all falls under the domain of a public record. What happens when this is digitized is that the barrier to accessing it goes way down. So it can just turn into a Google search away. So what these sites, like, think of White Pages do, for example, is they aggregate all this information from public records. So it is fair game. It's all public, but they list it online and make it available to be bought by anyone.
This can potentially lead to some real dangerous scenarios. Can you tell us a little bit about those? You know, maybe give us some examples.
Yes. So the biggest example would be the case of doxing, which we see more and more cases of that every day, often against politicians, journalists, but it can happen to everyday people. And what doxing consists of is when your personal information, largely your home address, your phone number, often as well, because of the way these sites operate, the same personal information of family members, is posted publicly on sites like social media with the intent to harass, threat, and get other people to threaten and harass that user again. So some notable examples of this is the recent assassination attempt against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The person who made that attempt admitted to finding that information just on the internet. So that's a really extreme example. But I also spoke with people who, well, they never faced anyone physically threatening them, but they did have their home address, pictures of their apartments and their buildings posted online just to create that paranoia and that fear that some danger might happen. And it gets really scary when they involve family members. That's what sources reported that to me as well.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the steps then that you can take if you want to get your personal information down. What is the first thing you should do?
The first step is to assess your immediate safety. That's the number one priority. But if you are doing this proactively, one of the first things someone trying to intimidate you might do is just look it up in Google. And Google actually has tools to hide search results that contain personal information. It's a new tool. They just expanded what is eligible to be hidden in Google search results to include personal information, contact information, address, phone number, all of that. And in the coming months, Google said they're going to roll out a tool to make it even easier. So right now you have to go to Google, you have to fill out a form, basically letting them know, is this being used for doxing intent? What information do you want listed? What's the URL that you want hidden from the search results and why? But in the coming months, there's going to be three little dots next to the posting, and you can click it. It's an About This result page, and there will be an option there to request removal. So it really expedites the process.
It seems like Google has a lot of leeway, though, here. I mean, do they ever reject these requests?
Yes. Yeah, so some things that Google said they will take into consideration are, is this search results. So is this URL contributing to just the free exchange of public information? So some examples of times that they might reject requests to hide a search result are if it's information that comes from news coverage. That's an example of something that they likely would not honor, as well as if it comes from an official government source.
Okay, what about web pages that you mentioned before, like white pages, if you want to get it taken off of there, not just showing up in search?
Absolutely. So that gets into the second thing. So you can hide search results in Google. If you manage to do that successfully, it doesn't actually remove the content from the actual URL. So people are able to access it other ways, other search engines. If they know the URL, they look it up directly. So what you have to do then is contact the actual owner of the site. And some quick tools to do that are potentially to use the database Whois, which can give you some quick contact information. But specifically for these data broker sites, so the big ones mentioned, White Pages, Spokeo, Radaris, these are sites that often have opt-out requests. The tricky part can be finding these opt-out requests. So what I recommend doing is typing in the name of the data broker and then opt-out. That should get you closer to the actual form. But essentially what you do is each database is a little different, but basically usually they'll ask for the URL of your listing. So you'll need to find the location of your personal information on their site, save that URL, submit that URL to them. And it's usually just a few steps to say, like, I would like to opt out from having my information public.
What about for people who just don't have the time to go to all of these individual sites and put in request forms? I mean, it seems like a lot of work to get something that feels like yours off of places you don't want it.
It is. It is a lot of work, and it is a lifelong effort of work. So there are third-party services that offer to do this for you. So one, I spoke with the co-founder of Delete Me, and that service, it's more than $100 a month, but what it does is they make these requests on behalf of the user. So essentially all you do is give Delete Me your personal information. You give it to them so they know what to look for, but the Delete Me founder assured that what they use proxy email addresses, proxy information to reach out to these sites, make these opt-out requests on behalf of the customer without disclosing any more information than needed. There's also a program from NortonLifeLock that does this. So there are third-party services out there.
All right. That's our reporter, Maddie Ellis. Thanks so much for joining us, Maddie.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Gigot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.